Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff, nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
Welcome to the Service Dog Show. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai, also known as PTS Dog.
And I'm your host, Scav.
I want to let the audience know, you know, Scav and I, we've worked together. We share information back and forth.
I run Scout as my service dog. He's a hearing dog, PTSD dog.
We're here to bring you news, interviews, and information about service dogs and about matters that are of interest to the service dog community.
Thank you for joining us on the Service Dog Show on DV Radio, WDVR.
Welcome to the Service Dog Show. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai, also known as PTS Dog.
And I'm your host, Scav.
Yeah, right. We got a little bit to cover. So first, Munchie update, because everybody wants to know about the puppy. She has, Mastiff's joints are always a concern. So to help protect her joints as she's growing, I have, since she came home, she's had a bed. Well, she discovered that on the bottom of these little dog beds, they've got these little rubberized dots, these non-skid dots, so that the bed doesn't slide around. Well, she wants to scrape those dots off. She wants to scratch at it and chew at it and get the dots off. And so she's already destroyed her first bed, which she outgrew anyway.
Those are her dots.
Yeah, yeah. So I got her a new bed. It's a Kong ballistic nylon bed with a Sherpa pad on the top, and she... It's rectangular, so it almost fits her crate. It's not quite the size of a crate, so it's hard for her to flip so that she can get at the dots, although she's managed it once. So she is trying to drag it out of the crate, which it doesn't quite fit because it's a side door crate. So she can't quite get it out of the crate. So if we hear banging and growling and scuffling, it's because Munchie is doing her best to try to get her new bed out of her crate so that she can get at those dots, because those rascally dots, you know, I don't know why they're an issue, but she's fascinated with the dots. So that's, if it happens, if it gets too ornery and loud, we might have to pause. She's a little wild thing. She's going through that heavy puppy. Heavy chewing, you know, she's 16 weeks old and it's all big puppy stuff right now. So, we're being quite entertained. She's entertaining as can be. Brought home the new bed this morning and put it in her crate, and she climbed into it, started rolling around, wrestling with it, laid herself down and pulled her blanket over herself and took a nap in her new bed. So
very nice.
Oh yeah. Yeah. She's doing really well. She's got down pretty good. Her stay is improving. Literally every time we work stay, it gets about 5 seconds longer. We have another dog bed on order that is going to show up next week, that is also heavy duty ballistic nylon and stuff. So one dog bed is always going to be in her crate, but then I'm just going to start teaching her place so that she can come out in the house and be around us. Right. Because like we were doing dishes and cleaning the kitchen last night and she was going nuts because mommy and daddy are out doing stuff. They're in the, you know, mommy's out here. We're all doing stuff and she's not involved. And of course, Skeeter and Freya are under tow, always underfoot, because that's how they roll. And so, you know, we're telling them to get their little butts out of the kitchen and tripping over them and the whole nine yards. And she's just sitting there looking at us and barking at us because nobody was paying attention to the baby and she wasn't involved, even though she was only 12 feet away. So I've got a corner in the kitchen where it's in front of a cabinet that I almost never use, right next to the refrigerator. So that's where the second bed's going to go. And while we're doing stuff in the kitchen, I'm going to teach her to stay there. I'll tell her place and she can post up on the bed. Now, you don't have to have a bed to teach place. I know this. It was pointed out to me by a know-it-all dog trainer. You don't have to have a dog bed to teach place. I know that. She's a mastiff. With her size, dogs this size develop those gnarly elbow calluses. And we have wood floors. So in order to help prevent those nasty calluses, I'm going to make sure that when I teach her place, it's going to be on a soft mat of some kind so that it helps prevent those calluses from growing. I know you don't have to have a specific thing for place. That's not the point. But, you know, some people got to know everything. Anyway, so that's the update on the Munchkin, who, and we had a serious thunderstorm this afternoon. We're talking buckets of rain. She stepped one foot out to go potty, got soaking wet immediately, and was like, nope, not going to do it. So, yeah, we're having adventures. It's fun. Puppy stuff is fun. As long as you understand that pupper's going to pup, you know? You can't get frustrated when they're, you need to remind yourself it's 16 weeks old. You know? It's 3.5 months old.
They're puppies. Baby.
Yeah, it is a puppy. I don't call her a service dog prospect yet. She's not a service dog in training. She is a puppy. And we're dealing with puppy things. And that's part of growing and how I deal with those puppy things. It helps develop the bond. And let me tell you, this dog is all about me. She loves mommy. She loves the teenager. She loves playing with Freya. She wants to play with Skeeter, but he's like, get off my lawn. But she loves daddy. She wants daddy full time, which is absolutely what she's supposed to do. So that's going good. But we got other stuff to talk to. On Sunday morning, I woke up at 5 to take the puppy out because that's when I wake up to take the puppy out because that's when she wakes up to ask to go out. And after I got her pottied and fed her breakfast, took the other two out, got them settled and fed, I sat down to find a article had been published about a new law in the state of Missouri that just went into effect on Sunday. That was the 28th, 29th, 30th, 28th. The law went into effect the 28th. The article was published the 28th. What day was that? Today's the 31st. That was Saturday. Anyway, Friday. Doesn't matter. I found the article Sunday morning. Anyway, reading this article, there's a couple of things that jumped out and were disturbing. So first of all, what the point of the law is Senate Bill 644 went in effect August 28th and makes it a misdemeanor crime to knowingly represent a dog as a service dog if they haven't been trained. That includes creating false documents or using, now this is, we're going to get into this, or using a harness or vest commonly used on a service dog. The first offense would be a 15-day jail sentence and or a $700 fine. Subsequent offenses would be a 6-month jail sentence and or a $1,000 fine. Okay. Cool. A little confusing. We'll get into that because we're going to read the actual law. If the law doesn't have any bite to it, then there's no point in passing the law, says Senator Bill White. This is a Missouri state senator. White says that one of the biggest concerns they've seen is geared towards enforcement. Okay, here's where alarm bells start going off. White explains that if a dog is trained, then business owners should be able to ask to see their training documentation if they have suspicions. If something serious happens, such as the misrepresented dog biting someone or another dog, then local law enforcement should be involved. Listen to the first sentence again. White explains that if the dog is trained, then business owners should be able to ask to see their training documentation if they have suspicions. Now, let's read from the Americans with Disabilities Act explanation, ADA.gov/regs2010/service_animal_qa.html. Question 17. Does the ADA require that service animals be certified as service animals? Answer, no. Covered entities may not require documentation, such as proof that the animal has been certified, trained, or licensed as a service animal, as a condition for entry. Federal law said forbids asking. Let's go back further in this document. It's the same document. It's the Q&A, service animal Q&A on the ADA website. It is very easy to find. Okay. It's question 7. What questions can a covered entity's employees ask to determine if a dog is a service animal? In situations where it is not obvious that the dog is a service animal. This does not mean a vest. This means if the person is obviously blind and it is obviously a seeing eye dog, you cannot question them. This means if the person is in a wheelchair and it is obviously a mobility assistance dog, it's opening doors, it's retrieving items, you cannot question them. Don't believe me? Contact the ADA information line from the Department of Justice and ask them. That is literally what this means. I have called them and asked. Okay.
It's going to get even better here, folks.
So in situations where it is not obvious that the dog is a service animal, staff may ask only 2 specific questions. Is the dog a service animal required because of a disability? And what work or task has the dog been trained to perform? Staff are not allowed to request any documentation for the dog, require that the dog demonstrate its task, or inquire about the nature of the person's disability. Period. That is federal law. That is the, and here's the thing. State laws take precedence over the ADA if they are more permissive or less restrictive than the ADA. However, if a state law is more restrictive than the ADA takes preference. So, this article, again, this senator is saying they should be able to ask for documentation. And then law enforcement should be, here's his, again, following his quote, law enforcement should be saying, okay, if they have any concerns at all, it's not a service dog, they should be asking for this documentation. And that's where you've gotten in trouble. Okay, no. Okay, the ADA covers Title I and Title II. Or Title I is employment, covers Title II and Title III entities, state and local government, and businesses, public businesses. Okay, that's who the ADA covers, which means that state or local law enforcement, state patrol, state police, city cops, police officers, police departments cannot require documentation. Okay. They fall under Title II, I think, is law enforcement. And they cannot ask for documentation. The only place that they that you can be asked for proof is in court. That's the only place.
So this shithead is making up laws.
Well, let's go look at the state law. Missouri Senate Bill number 644. I'm going to skip the first parts because it just explained blah, 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 blah. I'm going to get down to the nitty gritty of.
Oh, come on, man. Bore us to death.
No. We don't need to do that. Okay. So it says, you know, you got to refer to this law and this law to know who is, you know, what we're talking about. We're talking about disabled and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. The second page of the law, we will go to a service dog. A dog that is being or has been specially individually trained to do work or perform tasks for the benefit of an individual with a disability, including a physical, sensory, psychiatric, intellectual, or other mental disability. Service dog, but is not, includes, but is not limited to a guide dog, a dog that has been, that is being or has been specially trained to assist a particular blind or visually impaired person, a hearing dog, dog that is being or has been specially trained to assist a particular deaf or hearing impaired person, a medical alert or response dog, a dog that is being or has been trained to alert a person with a disability that a particular medical event is about to occur or respond to a medical event that has occurred, And then D, a mental health service dog or psychiatric service dog, a dog individually trained for its owner who is diagnosed with a psychiatric disability, medical condition, or developmental disability recognized in the most recently published Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, or the DSM, which is DSM-5 right now, to perform tasks that mitigate or assist with difficulties directly related to the owner's psychiatric disability, medical condition, or developmental disability. Mobility dog, a dog that is being or has been specially trained to assist a person with disability caused by physical impairments. So the big deal here is that D section, the mental health service dog or psychiatric service dog, that's new. And that's great. That's great that the state is recognizing the psychiatric service dog. And it's including it in the other types of service dog, guide dog, hearing dog, medical alert, and mobility dog.
Well, that wording is going to come back and catch them.
Yeah, it is.
Bite them in the ass. Being or has been.
Mm-hmm.
That being any dog.
Well, if people can lie, people do lie. The whole problem is people lie. That's what they're trying to deal with, is people lying. Okay. We get that. Okay. And then they've got this professional therapy dog, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It is a dog which is selected, trained, and tested to provide specific physical therapeutic functions under the direction and control of a qualified handler who works with the dog as a team, as a part of the handler's occupation or profession. So I would assume like a psychiatrist or a psychologist. Such dogs with their handlers perform such functions in institutional settings, community-based group settings, or when providing services specific to specific persons who have disabilities. Professional therapy dogs do not include dogs, certified or not, which are used by volunteers in visitation therapy. Interesting. Hmm. Anyway, it goes on. They protect search and rescue dogs, search and rescue dogs as well. Okay. A service dog team is a team consisting of a trained service dog, a disabled person or child, and a person who is an adult and who has been trained to handle the service dog. So if it's a child, so what they're saying is secondary handler, which the ADA also talks about with a disabled child who might not necessarily be able to handle the dog. That's fine. That's in compliance with the ADA. Okay. So here's the bite. Any person who knowingly impersonates a person with a disability for the purpose of receiving the accommodations regarding service dogs under the ADA, is guilty of a Class C misdemeanor and shall also be civilly liable for the amount of any actual damages resulting from such impersonation. Any second or subsequent violation of this section is a Class B misdemeanor. For purposes of this section, impersonates a person with a disability means a representation by word or action as a person with a disability, or a representation of a dog by word or action as a service dog. Okay. So if they lie and say they're disabled, therefore it's a service dog. Or if they lie and they say it's a service dog, they're guilty of a misdemeanor. Okay. No person shall knowingly misrepresent a dog as a service dog for the purpose of receiving the accommodations regarding service dogs under the Americans with Disabilities Act. For the purposes of this section, misrepresenting a dog as a service dog means a representation by word or action that a dog has been trained as a service dog as defined in section 209.200 of Missouri state law. Misrepresentation of a service dog shall include, but shall not be limited to, knowingly creating documents that falsely represent that a dog is a service dog. Okay. Knowingly providing to another person documents falsely stating that a dog is a service dog. So let's stop there. According to the Americans with Disabilities Act, any documentation presented as proof that a dog is a service dog is not only not required by the law, but is not recognized by the law as legal proof that it's a service dog. Let's read that section from the ADA again. It says, does the ADA require that service animals may be certified as service animals, that service animals be certified as service animals? No. Covered entities may not require documentation such as proof that the animal has been certified, trained, or licensed as a service animal as a condition of entry. Okay, and then we're going to go back to earlier to question 7. In situations where it is not obvious that the dog is a service animal, staff may ask only two specific questions. Is the dog a service animal required because of a disability? And what work or task has the dog been trained to perform? Staff are not allowed to request any documentation for the dog, require that the dog demonstrate its task, or inquire about the nature of the person's disability. So according to the ADA, which in this case is less restrictive than Missouri state law, nobody is allowed to ask for that paperwork. So if you're whipping it out preemptively, you're wrong under Missouri state law. But if they're asking for it, they're wrong under the ADA. Okay. Now here's this, what this does not say is that the business can ask for the documents. It does not say that. It does not say that the police can ask for the documents. Okay. This does not say that. I've read this entire law through a couple of times. It does not say that anybody can ask for these documents. It says anybody creating them or providing them as proof that it's a service dog is the misdemeanor. Now, here's the part that really makes things difficult. Actually, this next part makes things difficult too. There's more. I mean, this law is terrible. Number three. Knowingly fitting a dog, so it's a misdemeanor if you knowingly fit a dog, if the dog is not a service dog, with a harness, collar, vest, or sign of the type commonly used by a person with a disability, indicating that a dog is a service dog. What's commonly used? I have seen 1,000 different kinds of vests, capes, marked collars. Julius Canine, you know, they sell these great little, very lightweight, simple harnesses that are easy to put on and off your dog. And you can stick a patch on it that says service dog. So what vest? Okay, now a sign, that makes sense. So the patch saying it's a service dog, if it isn't, would be a misdemeanor because you're then representing the dog as a service dog when it's not. But what harness? There's no law that says that people can't use harnesses on their dogs. Harnesses are great tools. Aren't a lot of people use them to walk their dogs? Hunters use harnesses.
There's a lot of people use, you know, kits like what Scout wears is backpacks.
Yeah. Hikers use harnesses. And they look just like the ones that service dog handlers use. And there's nothing wrong with that. As long as it doesn't say service dog on it and they're not trying to pass their dog off as a service dog, there's nothing wrong with it. Not only that, but the ADA says no harness or marking is required. So this is very confusing, especially when you go back to the definition of a service dog, where it says is being trained or has been trained. So if it is being trained, but it's not quite there yet, it is in training, it is not a service dog, but a lot of people who train their service dogs while they're in training put them in a harness.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to work in a harness, or they may or may not, whatever. You know, Skeeter knows how to work in a harness. I didn't train him in one. Most of the time, he doesn't wear one. He wears one in, under certain conditions.
That's how we taught Scout. He's working when he's in the vest. When he's not,
it doesn't mean he's not a service dog.
Right.
You know, okay, so confusion again. This muddies the waters. Knowingly representing that a dog is a service dog if the dog has not completed training to perform disability-related tasks or do disability-related work for a person with a disability. Wait a minute. Under the own definitions in this same document, it says that the dogs that are being trained, meaning they are in training, right, are being trained, okay, are covered, okay, or have been, are being or have been. Okay, that's what the law says. So now it's saying if it's not trained, but you're labeling it, then you're breaking the law. So which is it? It contradicts itself.
Who's this dumbass?
It's the whole Missouri State Senate, apparently.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, this gets bad. This gets really bad. We've got to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages, and we'll keep breaking this law down. It gets worse, folks. You're listening to the Service Dog Show right here on DV Radio, WDVR.
DV Radio. There's a place that is hidden because they do not pay influencers. They built their social media platform from the ground up for far less than any other, and they adhere to freedom of speech to the core. Oh, they're veterans that do it all for free? Who are they? Seascape, Seascape, Seascape. You can grab your profile on Seascape by downloading the app on your Android and iOS devices. If you'd rather, head to Seascape.com and create your profile from your computer. Stop having forced posts and advertisements in your social media feed while algorithms choose what you get to see. Seascape is where you can choose what and who shows up in your news feed. Say enough is enough. Escape today. Download Seascape on your mobile device or head to Seascape.com now. Seascape.com.
Let's get it on.
We've got some bread made for you.
The music.
Let's go.
You're listening to WDVR on DVRadio.net. By veterans, for veterans.
Simply made for you.
Welcome back to the Service Dog Show. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai, also known as PTS Dog.
And I'm your host, Scab.
Okay, so we're going over this new Missouri state law, State Bill 644, that went into effect on the 28th of August, and it's got some serious problems. Where we left off before the break is that somebody knowingly representing that a dog is a service dog if the dog has not completed training to perform disability-related tasks or do disability-related work for a person with disability is a misdemeanor. However, in the first part of the same law, on page 2, it defines a service dog as a dog that is being or has been, meaning in training or they've graduated from training, I guess, is being or has been trained to perform disability-related tasks or do disability-related work for a person with a disability. So which is it, Missouri? Is it fully trained, which is what the ADA covers, or is it fully trained and in training? Because in the first part, you define a service dog as being trained or has been trained, meaning in training or fully trained. But here you're saying if it's not fully trained and you're saying it's a service dog, it's a misdemeanor. It's crime. So that's confusing. That's very confusing. And when we're talking about people with disabilities, several disabilities have a direct effect on your ability to understand these things, on cognition. So somebody who may believe that they are fully in compliance because under your definition, state of Missouri, under your definition, it says a dog that is being trained is protected. They would think, because it says it in your law, that they're good to go, and yet they could end up being charged because their in-training dog had a bad day, acted out, they got called on it, the police were brought in, whatever, you know, you see what I'm saying? So this is setting up your disabled community who chooses to train their service dogs. This is setting them up for disaster.
Dude, if you Google search that bill,
mm-hmm.
by just Missouri Service Dog Law 644, it's a shit show.
Yeah. And this is law now in Missouri.
Oh, my God. It's just...
Yeah. This is terrible.
What comes up is just horrible.
A person who violates this subsection is guilty of a Class C misdemeanor and shall also be civilly liable for any actual damages resulting from the from such misrepresentation. Any second or subsequent violations this subsection is a Class B misdemeanor. Okay, then it comes under the Fair Housing Act, and it says no person shall knowingly misrepresent any animal as an assistance animal for the purpose of receiving accommodations regarding assistance animals under the Fair Housing Act. Okay, so listen, the Fair Housing Act defines service animals and emotional support animals as assistance animals. Okay. For the purpose of reasonable accommodation in housing. I don't like when we're referring to a service dog. I prefer to maintain that referral as a service dog. I don't like calling it an assistance animal because even though that's what the FHA calls both, when it comes to the most recent guidelines from HUD, which were published in February, regarding how that works when you're trying to rent an apartment. If it is a service animal, they are supposed to only ask, is that a service dog required because of a disability, and what tasks or work is it trained to perform? And once that's been answered to their satisfaction, they cannot ask anything else. However, they can still require a note from your doctor on the doctor's letterhead recommending the use of an emotional support animal to assist with your disability.
Well, according to their own law, misrepresenting a service animal is a violation of Missouri law. So their own, they're fucking themselves by calling it an assistance animal.
Well, again, what we're talking about is under housing, okay? And the Fair Housing Act calls it an assistance animal because for accommodation, that means, see, and that's why I don't like the term assistance animal. For the purposes of accommodation under the Fair Housing Act, either an ESA or a service dog is an assistance animal. However, the Fair Housing Act, it still draws a line and says if it's a service dog, you don't need paperwork from a doctor. If it's an ESA, you do. So this just muddies the water. It makes things more confusing. That's why I don't like the term. It makes things more confusing. A service dog is a service dog, and an emotional support animal is an emotional support animal. For the purposes of housing, you have to accommodate both, but they're still drawing a line and requiring paperwork for an ESA when they no longer require one for a service dog.
Paper. Oh, man. Maybe so, I need to vacation in Missouri this year.
I mean, this is crazy. So, again, they're talking about, you know, if you create documents falsely representing it as an assistance animal, which in this case is service dog or ESA, emotional support animal, knowingly providing to another person documents falsely stating that the animal is an assistance animal, ESA or service dog, knowingly fitting the animal. And here's this harnessing again. Okay. And here's knowingly and intentionally misrepresenting a material fact to a healthcare provider for the purpose of obtaining documentation from the healthcare provider necessary to designate an animal as an assistance animal.
Did you just catch the COVID while we were talking?
No, my throat's sore stormy allergies. I'm dying. You know, it's not the Rona though. It's not the Rona.
Not the Rona.
That's actually the name of my router. So all documentation for an assistance animal shall be from a qualified professional, which as permitted under the Fair Housing Act. It makes sense. Okay. So what it's saying is you can't buy false papers on the internet to try to get out of paying pet fees.
What do you mean? Everybody else does.
Well, that's illegal now in Missouri, which is good.
Just right? Missouri?
Yeah. But, well, it depends on each state what their law is. I don't
know. Okay.
You know. Okay. But, okay. So I just read you all the pertinent parts of this law.
Whoa. Hey, I'm reading right here that they're going to prepare placards and brochures.
Well, yeah, they're going to put placards and brochures in businesses explaining this law. Okay. That's great. Okay. Cool. So they're doing some education. However, nowhere in this law does it say, remember when we started, we were talking about businesses and the police asking for documentation that Senator White said they could. Senator Bill White of Missouri said they should be able to ask for documentation if there's a question, okay? At the beginning of all this show, that's what we were talking about, and that is a direct violation of the Americans with Disabilities Act on the part both of the business and of state and local police.
Senator White had a hand in this, didn't he?
I don't know. I'm not from Missouri. I don't know. He was who was interviewed for the news article. Nowhere in this law, nowhere does it say they can ask for paperwork. It says the Governor's Council on Disability shall prepare and make available online a placard suitable for posting in a front window or door stating that service dogs are welcome and that misrepresentation of a service dog is a violation of Missouri law. And a brochure detailing permissible questions allowed by the Americans with Disabilities Act, the ADA, not Missouri state law, a business owner may ask in order to determine whether a dog is a service dog, and guidelines defining unacceptable behavior. So, wait a minute. Guidelines? What guidelines defining unacceptable behavior? According to whom? You know, if I'm ignoring Skeeter and he's alerting because my blood sugar's dropping, he will start, because I'm ignoring him, right? He escalates. He starts getting vocal. Is that unacceptable behavior because I'm ignoring an alert, so he's escalating? It's because he wants to make sure my sugar doesn't drop and I don't pass out? Excuse me? That's perfectly acceptable behavior because the dog's saving my fucking life. There's a lot of problems here, folks. But again, Senator Whittle said the business should be able to ask for documentation and the police should be able to ask for documentation. No, they can not. Not under Missouri state law and not under federal law, the Americans with Disabilities Act. Now let's talk about why. Because this brought up the whole registration and certification argument again. And you are sick and tired of this argument.
Yeah, fuck. That just made my head hurt.
Yeah.
Oh, Senator White.
We should be required to show paperwork. There's too many fake service dogs.
Senator White, if you're listening, eat a big giant dick. My fucking head hurts just listening to this bullshit again.
Folks, in order to understand why certification and registration of service dogs is not required, you first need to understand the difference between a right and a privilege. Legally, a privilege is something that is earned under the law. For example, obtaining a driver's license and driving is a privilege earned. The law allows you that privilege. Constitutionally, you have a right to transportation, not a right to drive. Driving is a privilege, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, a right is protected by the law. The Americans with Disabilities Act is a civil rights law. It stems directly from the Civil Rights Act of 1964, from the civil rights movement that banished racism. The whole country is in an uproar right now over civil rights. Well, guess what? The right to use a service dog is a civil right, not a privilege, protected by the Americans with Disabilities Act, not granted by. You do not earn the right to be disabled and handle a service dog. That is not a desirable outcome of your life. Okay? You have the right, if you are disabled, to use a service dog trained to assist you with your disability to assist you. That is your right. Just like you have the right to use a wheelchair and to have equal access.
We'll put it to you this way. Blind people don't have to have a license to use their seeing eye dog. Plain and simple. You see that guy out there, he can't see. He needs that dog to get across the street, whatever. Everybody's going to be in agreement right there.
Physically disabled people don't need license to be able to use their cane or their walker or their wheelchair.
Bingo. The guy with the prosthetic leg.
Yeah.
Doesn't need a license to use that fucking leg.
You don't need a license to make prosthetics.
You don't need a license to use that fucking hooked hand.
Printing them. For disabled children in third world countries on 3D printers. They don't need a license to do it.
That'd be like asking somebody to make a license to use the wheelchair, to put a wheelchair ramp in. It's
just
ridiculous.
Same as a wheelchair, oxygen tanks, prosthetic, a cane, hearing aids, colostomy bag.
You start down that road.
Durable medical equipment.
You start down that road, and it's going to come into every single household for every single thing you do.
So it is durable medical equipment, as is the service dog. Does that mean we treat our service dogs like medical equipment? No. It means that the service dog is classified legally as durable medical equipment, just like the cane, the walker, the hearing aid, the oxygen tank, the colostomy bag, the prosthetic, okay?
Right.
That's what it means. No, we do not treat our dogs like objects. Our dogs are protected the same as the objects. So get that stupid argument out of here, okay?
And JJ's right, because if you make us get a license for our dogs, get ready for a license for inhalers for asthma.
Yep.
License for hearing aids. License.
Excuse me. Hey, are those hearing aids registered? I need to see your registration paper.
License for your prosthetic legs and arms.
Yep.
And we're not kidding, because once a dog gets licensed, don't think every goddamn service dog handler isn't going to push all this nonsense and bullshit, because we will.
Mm-hmm. Because guess what? Here's the thing. Again, ADA is a civil rights law. The point of the ADA is that disabled people have the right to equal access everywhere they go. That's why there are now ramps on sidewalks, the, you know, the with the yellow bumpies, right? So that wheelchair users can get onto and off the sidewalk safely. That's why there are wheelchair ramps on buildings. That's why there are elevators on buildings. So that, and doors are wider so that wheelchair users can fit through. Okay. It is so that any and every American can have equal access, as in being treated as equal as an able-bodied person. That includes a person who uses a service dog.
In my life would be a living hell. I've got hearing aids.
Access.
I've got an inhaler. I've got a metal plate in my neck. It's ridiculous. What the fuck would I want all this shit for? You know, my wallet would be like 7 feet thick.
Yeah. Listen, we don't use service dogs because it's fun. We don't use service dogs because it's a fashion statement. We use service dogs because they are life-saving, durable medical devices. They are part of our recovery, of our treatment. They give us, they return us ability. They give us back freedom and independence. I used to be unable to go shopping. I couldn't. With my service dog, I can. He has returned that ability to me because he assists me with my disability in order to allow me to focus and function. He is absolutely vital to me. What drug makes it so you can go shopping? I took all the drugs. I did all the therapy. None of it helped me. I was just stoned all the time on the VA's drugs. What helped me be able to go back out and go shopping? Skeeter. Okay?
Scout just got me a reprieve from counseling every week to once a month.
Yeah, exactly. I was going and seeing the psychiatrist monthly to make sure my med levels were right, and they're doing blood work and doing all this, monitoring all this, you know, and keeping me zombified, and I couldn't function. I don't take all those drugs now. I have one med for in case of emergency, and I use Skeeter instead. He has returned my independence to me. This is vital. This is how I live. I would not be here if it weren't for him. I would have committed suicide. I would be a statistic, okay? I would be a statistic. This is not something fun. Oh, it's so much fun. I'm going to get a service dog. That's not what it's about.
Fuck no. I'd rather not have Scout out there in public.
Yeah.
He's a pain in the ass.
Three times as long to do something. Look, I had to go to 4 grocery stores today. Okay? Well, stores. I had to go to Tractor Supply. They didn't have the dog bed I wanted for the puppy, so I had to go to PetSmart. Then I had to go to the Food Lion and get some groceries so we could have dinner tonight. And then I had to go to the Walmart because nobody in town carries a specific medication for Nevermore except Walmart. That is a lot of work because, look, it doesn't take 2 seconds to run to the Tractor Supply and find, oh, they don't have the right dog bed. It takes about 30 minutes because I have Skeeter with me. So I have to potty him when we get out of the truck, go in. Everybody's got to see the dog. Everybody's got to talk to the dog. Everybody has to stop me and make a comment about the dog. Okay, so I'm busy avoiding these fuckers, handling my dog, looking for what I... And we're walking down aisles, and he's trained to ignore it, and he ignores it, but we're walking down aisles of food and treats because we're looking for dog shit.
Yeah,
it's at the end of the food aisle. So
it takes
I've got
a master's degree to get
sure.
a dog to ignore meat.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm working. I'm working with him, and it takes time. And I couldn't find what I was looking for, and I needed dewormer for Freya, and it's on the magnified lock, magnet lock on the little thing because people steal it. So I had to find somebody to help me. It takes time. Then he wanted, you know, he thinks Tractor Supply is his playground because he knows no matter where the Tractor Supply is in the country, he's going to get a treat. So he's excited because he knows that cashier is going to give him a dog treat. So he's being extra the whole time we're in there. They didn't have the right dog bed. Go to PetSmart. Same thing. Oh, wow, I was getting treats at PetSmart. People stopping me. Oh my God, your dog's a beetle. What kind of dog is that? Blah, 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 blah. Stop. I just want to shop. It's not, this is not so, oh, you just run in and run out. No. The Food Lion. That's my grocery store. That's where I usually go. There are several people who work there who they're Skeeter's people. Skeeter likes these people. Okay. So we stop and we take our time and we greet them and we say hello. Because I go there regularly, so I'm not going to be an asshole to these people. So I have made the choice that they can greet him and they can talk to him. And he knows he gets to greet him and talk to them. And he's a very gregarious dog. He talks to them. I'm okay with that. I created that situation. So that takes extra time. I took an extra 15 minutes with Skeeter at Food Lion today because his friend was working.
Yep.
Okay. Now that was a conscious choice. PetSmart and Tractor Supply, where everybody's got to stop and say something about the dog, was not. I chose because that is my neighborhood supermarket, you know, grocery store. I chose to allow interaction. I could have been a dick and been like, no, talk to my dog. I'm not that way because part of his function is to return the bridge between me and other people. I can talk to other people because I have Skeeter. I wouldn't talk to other people before. I was unable to. It was part of my disability.
And there's no running in by yourself real quick.
No. You got to keep, especially down here in the South, it's too hot. I can't leave him in the truck until wintertime. There's only two places I leave him in the truck. Gas stations where I got to run in and pay or grab something, okay? Because they're just crowded. It's too, and I really don't want to deal with the nonsense with that. You can't bring that dog in here at a fucking gas station. It's not worth my time when I'm literally going to be in there for less than a minute. And the liquor store, because his tail would cost me thousands of dollars. Because he's a happy dog, and he wags his tail. And one good swipe on a, you know, shelf of bourbon, and I'm done. I can't afford to replace that. Okay? So I don't take him in there. Is it easy to go in there without him? No, it fucking sucks, and I usually panic. But for the sake of safety, and because I am a responsible handler, I don't take him in here. Anyway, but we don't, you know what? It does not make our life, it's not easy. But we're able, okay? It's, look, think about the rigmarole of getting into and out of a wheelchair and into and out of a vehicle from a wheelchair with, you know, an adaptive driving vehicle, right? So you've got to, and I've watched a gentleman in a wheelchair who was as a double amputee. I've watched a gentleman do this, had a beautiful adapted Chevy 1500 pickup, Silverado. Nice truck, really nice truck. Hand controls because he didn't have any legs, okay? And he rolls up, he opens the door, he climbs up, gets himself halfway into the truck, then turns around, hanging out of the truck, folds up his wheelchair, throws it over, kind of over his shoulder into the back, into the bed, around the, you know, around the frame of the door and the back window, into the bed. And then it's still, he's dangling by one arm while he's using the other, okay? And then climbs up into the seat and gets himself situated, gets himself buckled in, okay? And that process took almost 3 minutes just to get into his truck to drive away, okay? It's not easier because he has a wheelchair. It just enables him to do it. It's the exact same with a service dog. It's not easier because I have a service dog. It enables me because I have a service dog.
And then if it's raining, same situation. Oh, guy in a wheelchair, man, is going to be soaked. God. And you got to have, you know, the wheels are wet. The chair is wet. Service dog, as soon as he gets in the car, guess what? Everything inside the car is wet.
As soon as we get in the store, guess what? Everything inside the store is wet. I've taught him to shake right outside the door. And the command is, it's funny, it's shaky, shaky, and he does. And then we go in. But we're both soaked, you know. And that's, you know, okay. But look, the point, though, is equal access. If you make us register or certify our dogs, and we have to show them in order to gain access. Whereas you, who don't use a service dog, able-bodied or in a wheelchair or using a walker, can just go right in. Then I am no longer equal to you. That makes me a second-class citizen. Mm-hmm. This is why there's not a service dog registry in the United States.
And we've got added expenses. Because
it would remove equality. We're not even going to get into the discussion about what it would cost to make that all happen. We're just talking about the equality. We can do a whole show about the infrastructure involved to make a registry occur. It's ludicrous. The DMV, but for service dogs.
No, just the added expenses of the feeding and the vet bills. Yeah.
Folks, we don't do this because it's trendy. We do this because it saves our lives. And trying to require us to document and register and certify and do all this nonsense makes life harder. It introduces barriers to disabled people where the law's intent is to remove barriers. That's counterintuitive. We could go on and on about this all night long, but we have to wrap up the show. Don't forget, Task Dogs 2020 is virtual. It is a virtual service dog expo on September 26th. That is a Saturday from 10 a.m. Central Time to 4 p.m. Central. I am hosting and will be the initial presenter of Task Dogs at 10:20 in the morning Central Time on that day. You can attend virtually. On the Task Dogs 2020 Facebook page, you can join in on the Facebook Live event. And you can, it will be interactive. You can ask questions. It will be relayed to the presenter. There's going to be 14 different presenters during the day, talking about their business and, or whatever they've got going on as it relates to service dogs. It should be very interesting. The point is education and information. That's the goal. And, I think it's going to be a very, entertaining and informational event. So check it out. Task Dogs 2020, September 26th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Central Time on DVRadio.net, or you can tune into the DV Radio channel. Task Dogs is broadcasting a video live on Facebook Radio. The Task Dogs Facebook page. We're simulcasting on DV Radio live, so you can listen to the audio at dvradio.net or on the Live365 or TuneIn apps, the DV Radio channel on either of those apps. You cannot interact in the chat room with the Task Dogs presentation during that broadcast. You can only ask questions and interact on the live feed on Facebook. So let's make that really clear. You have to go to the Task Dogs, a Service Dog Expo page on Facebook in order to interact. Okay? I don't want any confusion there. But you can listen to it. Say you're driving that day. You're driving cross country. But you want to hear the expo. You can listen to Task Dogs on dvradio.net or on the DV Radio channel of the Live 365 or TuneIn apps. Speaking of, you are listening to the Service Dog Show right here on DV Radio, WDVR. We will see you next week.